Welcome to PodMuts Daily, episode number 294. The show where computer repair technicians help out other computer repair technicians by having a computer repair technician come on the show and talk about computer repair technician things. Joining us for this episode is our friend Adam Head from TechHeadPC.com. What's up, Adam?
Not a whole lot. How's it going, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good. And I hear you're busy as heck.
Yeah, I've been real busy the last few weeks. It's been going pretty great.
What have you been doing?
Lots of laptops, lots of desktops, you name it. Some screen replacements, power supply replacements. We'll get into a few of them here, but all kinds of stuff.
Oh, great. And you told me a little bit before the show, too. It's almost too much, huh? Too much for you?
Yeah. There's been a couple times where it's been pretty overwhelming. So that's a good problem to have, though, like you said.
Exactly. Well, man, thank you very much for coming back on the show. Let me pull up your notes here, and then we'll get started.
Okay. Oh, and I said a prayer to the bandwidth gods before we started, and especially the god of upload speed, so we should be okay.
That's right. If those of you don't remember from last time, I had a lot of editing to do in that show.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours or something when we were done recording, just the video was.
That's awesome. And you guys know how much I like editing. No, but the problem was you didn't pray to the audio driver gods because we had a different type of problem. I'll take responsibility for that one, though.
No offense, but I'd rather have the problem on your end than my end.
Thanks. All right. Why don't you let's get started here. What do you want to go over?
Okay. Well, I kind of want to start off today with just kind of giving a couple thanks to a couple people in the community. The first person is Blaine. Sometimes you see him in the chat room and definitely in the forums. He's in there a lot. And after the last show, he contacted me, and it turned out he lives like 10 minutes from my house. And we talked a little bit, and he said he had been trying to start up a repair shop and doing it on the side, and it just got too much for him because of all the overtime he was working. And so he asked if I wanted some of his customers. And I thought that was really nice of him, and I said sure. And so he decided to start sending some customers my way whenever they would ask him for help. And also, he called me up one day and said he had some stuff for me. So I went over there, and he gave me a big old box of processors and books and audio cards, video cards. He had an empty PC case. He had some Cat 5 cables, just all kinds of stuff for me to have spare parts and things like that. And I just thought that was really cool and really nice of him. He wouldn't take any money for any of it. And he just seemed like he's a real nice guy. And it was good to talk to him, to talk to another tech locally, you know, because I just don't know many of them personally around here. So I just wanted to say thanks to Blaine, and I hope he's doing well. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Oh, that's great. But,
yeah, that was cool. So I think he had 600 and something posts in the forum, so he's been in there quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I know Blaine from forums, emails, and everything. He's a great contributor. So
yeah,
that's awesome when the Podnutsers connect up in the real world.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Sweet.
And the other quick things was to Steve D, because I had a power jack replacement that I was wanting to get done, and I called around here, and people want to charge $200, $300 to do it, and I had never done it before. My soldering skills are pretty weak; haven't done it since I was in high school. And remembered Steve D had offered to do that before, so I contacted him, and of course he was real quick to respond and said he would do it, to let him know what the model number was so he could order the jack. And I just wanted to say thanks to him for being so quick to respond. It turned out the customer didn't call me back to have it done, but just the fact that he was so willing to help and everything, I appreciated that.
Cool.
That way I didn't have to say, you know, no to the customer, and I could at least get him taken care of. So I'm still hoping that customer will call back.
All right, way to go, Steve D.
Yeah. And then just to, in general, to everyone out there in the community, after last show, I had some comments and stuff, and on my website and on the people wanting to use the alternating comments on my on my website and stuff like that. And just, I just thought that was nice because I was really nervous last time, and just to get the compliments and stuff for the show, even though it didn't go that smoothly, was good. And I appreciated it. So
sweet. Well, hey man, we always appreciate people coming on the show. I mean, a lot of guys write me and say, Steve, you don't know how much the show helps people and stuff like that. So look, when they write me and say that that's happening, it's because you guys are bringing what you'd bring to the show. So it's pretty awesome all the way around.
Good, yeah, well, I really appreciate it. It's really helped me out. It's been, this month is 2 years since I started doing this, and really I kicked it in full force like last April. So and that was when about when I found PodNuts too, was about probably about a year ago. So
sweet. That's great.
It's been helping out a lot.
Awesome, man.
So that's it. So that's enough praise for everybody.
Okay. Small Victories and Lessons Learned is the title of your next outline here.
Yes. I have plenty of detailed notes here for you.
What's that about?
Well, one of the things I mentioned last time was I was getting ready to start my first job with a small business. And it was for a local realtor, and they had gotten a quote from another repair firm here, and that was actually their regular repair firm, but they had just gotten tired of using them. They weren't responding like the realtors wanted them to, and so they got my name because I have a family member who works there. So I went and talked to him and gave him a quote to build him a couple computers and reinstall Windows on like 6 computers and just get them all cleaned up and transfer some files and replace a hard drive on their server because it was full and Norton wasn't updating and some different things like that. So I went through that job and I was nervous as heck and it actually was a great success. And but one of the things I underestimated was how long it would take me. And I gave him an estimate of 8 hours just because that was what the other firm had given them. And I just charged them based on that.
Right.
And I ended up logging in 30 hours of work. So the lesson I learned was don't underestimate how long it's going to take you. Of course, that was my first time. So there was, things that I was learning on the job.
Right.
Like for one thing, I shouldn't have done all the Windows updates by downloading them. I should have used like the WSUS updater that you can find online so you can download them and put them all on a CD or DVD and then just, install them instead of having to wait on them all to download.
Okay.
So I ended up doing that on a couple and that actually helped out. And
right.
Ended up saving a bunch of time.
Yeah, that's how you learn. I mean, I guess it's better that you underestimated than overestimated. I mean, if you're sitting there learning on the job and, they're paying you to learn, I don't necessarily think that's 100% fair. What I mean? If a job would take somebody else maybe 15 hours, but it took you 30 for that first job, I guess you could charge them for the 30 hours, but I mean, how ethical would that be? I mean, I don't know. But it's better that you kind of undercharged them, I think, than overcharged them.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I'm still figuring out, too, because you're right. I definitely wouldn't have charged them for the time I spent learning, but
right.
There was other... There are other instances of problems I wasn't expecting, just the things you can't plan for. And it was kind of like, should I have billed them, should I have, asked for a couple more hours of labor or, that's one of those things I just have to figure out, is it for unforeseen circumstances? Do you charge them more for that? Or, it was my first job, so I wasn't too worried about it.
Right.
Cause they're kind enough to let me, learn like basically on the job. And
right.
They knew that was my first job going in. And so, but it worked out great.
Oh, that's good.
And the only thing I had left there was they have one of the other mistakes I made was just assuming what kind of hardware was in the server. So they had a server that had what I thought was like a 60 gig hard drive in it. So I thought, well, I can replace that, no problem. So I ordered a SATA hard drive. Well, come to find out, it was a SCSI hard drive in the server.
Oh, man.
And so that didn't do me any good. And I just didn't have any experience in and working with servers. So it was real small, basically like a full tower. So, I just assumed it wasn't, too many crazy components in it. So
right.
That'd be fine. But, and Steve London in the chat room asked if it was RAID. No, it wasn't RAID. It just had two hard drives and they were just split up into a couple of different partitions. So, but that was a mistake I made that I learned from. So don't assume, what hardware is in these machines and without opening them up.
I know, man. Example, case in point, a couple years ago when I used to always guess if it was I'm forgetting now, IDE or SATA, a lot of laptop hard drives. I'm like, oh, it's got to be IDE. And like probably 100% of the time I was wrong. When you would think you'd have a 50% chance, about 100% of the time I was wrong. It was IDE, the other it was SATA, and it just, it's nuts. Yeah, definitely check before you go buying stuff.
Yeah. So, but it all worked out and I'm still helping them out and answering their questions and stuff. So I think we have a future there. So that's good.
Cool.
So one of the other, what I call a small victory is the amount of referrals I've been getting, which is good. Cause that's one of the hardest things to do is, to grow your customer base. But the easiest way is just to make people happy and hope they refer your name to other people. So I've been getting a lot of people, referring me to them, which is great. So I get people call it up. Yeah, so-and-so, you worked on their computer. They just thought you were great. And I was wondering if you could help me with mine. And so stuff like that, just, it makes me feel better. And because I think I do a good job, but I'm just not the type of person that has the most confidence in the world. So that, you know, that helps.
Oh,
helps
yeah.
with the confidence and
totally.
Stuff. And know you're doing a good job.
Right. Now, you said you started about a year ago, full blast?
Full blast about last April, so about
good.
9 months ago or something.
Yeah, so you're getting referrals already, and that sounds like it's doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, before that, it was just kind of on the side. If I heard a conversation where somebody needs some help, I would offer it to them. But then it was in April when I became tech ed and whenever I started advertising and AdWords and the whole deal. So.
Right. Sweet. It's good stuff so far.
Actually, which brings me to my next topic, which is AdWords. One of the things I had emailed you before, and we talked about before several times, is that my click-through rate was so low. It seemed like I was spending a lot on AdWords as far as compared to the number of customers I was getting. And while I'm still spending too much, my click-through rate is improving.
And what do you mean click-through rate? Because click-through
rate
is
just,
that's how many times people click on your ad.
Yeah, based on how many times it appears.
Right.
Right.
But are you talking about your conversion rate, which is how many people actually call you based off the clicks?
Actually, I'm not sure what my conversion rate is.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure about that. Something I need to check into.
Because if your click-through rate is high, it means you're getting a lot of clicks. That's good. You want your click-through rate to be high. Because the click-through rate is the amount of clicks compared to the amount of impressions. How many times Google shows your ad compared to how many clicks you get off
right.
the times they show. So you want
right.
that to be high because that means Google will reward you for having a good ad that lots of people click on. But if the clicks don't turn into, you know, customers or sales, that's where you lose money. So what was happening? You were getting a lot of clicks, but not a lot of people were calling you?
Well, I was getting a lot of clicks. I'm getting more clicks now, so I'm spending more money now. But before, my click-through rate was like 0.3.
Right.
0.3%, so it was super low.
Right.
So, you know, it just wasn't, people weren't clicking on it very much
right.
at all, even though it was showing thousands of times, you know.
Right, exactly.
So that's going up. So that means to me that maybe my ads mean more to them. They're liking my ads more, you know.
Exactly.
Because they're wanting to click on it more.
Exactly.
So I'm attracting their attention. So I'm getting them to my site, but I'm still not getting them to call me or to email me.
Really? Damn.
And this kind of, and I know last time we mentioned my picture on the website, which I know I haven't fixed that yet, but that's my fault. But I just listened to the podcast today where Steve D was live in your studio a while back.
Yeah.
And he mentioned Google Voice again. And I had stopped using that for a while and then started using it again. And he mentioned he's done with it forever for his business.
Yeah.
So I just changed that back today on my website. So now it's my cell phone number on my website. So I'm just hoping people weren't trying to call and getting Google Voice and it just wasn't connecting them or something.
I hope so, because you have a nice site. I mean, the picture is not going to cause that much of a that bad. It's not. I mean, it's still a really good picture. But I mean, we were just getting nitpicking at that point. I don't know, man. What does your ad say? Do you know that the wording of your ad?
I can look real quick.
I mean, if you can't pull it up real quick, we could probably address it after the show or something like that. But if the ad has to really match what your site is all about, so.
Well, and maybe that might be part of it.
Because people are going to click on your ad if you say, free computer repair. People are going to click
right.
on your ad. But if and then they go to your site and they see, okay, $89. So the site, like the ad has to actually match up with what the site is offering. I assumed if you followed Tech Site Builder, it was, but.
And that's what I did. I mentioned last time that I got super complicated with it and had just like 100 different ads and, you know, and thousands of keywords and it was just getting way too complicated.
Yeah.
So I actually did narrowed it down to like, I have like three ads for laptop repair now and that's it for them. And they cycle through. Then I have like three for computer repair. I kind of split it up into two categories there.
Okay.
But so just trying to make it a lot more simple. And then I can see which keywords are getting clicked on. So then keywords that haven't been clicked on at all in like the last 6 months, I'll just get rid of them.
Right, right.
Clean because up. There's no reason for them to be displayed at all if nobody's ever clicking on them.
Exactly. Just like cleaning up your AdWords campaign.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you don't have the ad up, we'll check it out after the show and see if we can debug it.
Oh, I do. They're right here.
What the ads that's getting the most clicks, what does it say?
The getting most clicks is laptop upgrades was getting the most clicks for a while. And it just says laptop upgrades, hard drive memory, Windows upgrade, quick turnaround, affordable. And that was all it said.
Laptop upgrades. You know, it's possible that people are clicking on that thinking of, you know, I don't know how they could turn their laptops into gaming machines or something like that. I don't know. Laptop upgrades. That's an interesting one. I don't know, man. if you're getting a lot of clicks and people are not calling you, try doing ads like I talked about on the site builder, or go in the forums and ask what guys are using in their ads to get good results. Because the last person that was on said he was getting great results with AdWords, and see what he's doing with his ad.
Okay.
Cool.
I'll do that. Oh, yeah, we don't have to spend much time on that.
That's right. I was just curious. Go ahead.
And one of my other small victories, and I kind of mentioned something related to this last time, was going to Best Buy and getting customers to ask me for help for some reason instead of the Best Buy salespeople. I've done this a couple of times. Last time I mentioned it was a guy with an iPad, and he actually ended up being a customer of mine. But last time, it was before Christmas, I was shopping for a laptop for my dad, and I was just in there looking at some Asus laptops. And there was a couple, two ladies standing there, and like a husband and a wife standing there, like kind of behind me. They were like kind of looking at the same price point I was. And I don't know what it was about me. I just had a black coat on. It wasn't like I was wearing a big logo tech head t-shirt or anything like that, you know?
Right.
But they were like sort of asking me like what I thought about a couple of these, like which one I was going to get. So I just thought that was strange. So I kind of started talking to him, and then the Best Buy salesman came over and was like, "Hey, can I help you guys all?" You know, and stuff like that. And I just kind of stepped back. You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, compete with him because I had nothing to sell there.
Right.
So he talked to them for a while, and I could tell they were overwhelmed, and he was just being a little too pushy, you know. And then he kind of stepped away to somebody else, and they started asking me questions again. And that's when I was like, "Okay, look," I was like, "I'm gonna be straight up with you guys. I have a computer repair shop, so I know all about these things, but I'm not here trying to compete with the salesman." I was like, "I'll ask any questions you want, you know, but I don't have laptops like this that I can sell you, but I'll ask any questions you want." So they ended up asking me a bunch of questions, and two of the couples that were with me walked out with the same laptop I did.
Oh, really?
So, which was kind of cool, yeah. Because the salesman was trying to push more expensive ones, and, you know, they're just using it for surfing and stuff like that. So
that's so awesome. Know,
They just need like a Core i3, which is what I got my dad. So it was just kind of funny, interesting. I had no idea how that happened. I don't know what it is about me that I go in there and attract people to talk to me about computers. But
I guess you're more approachable than a Best Buy employee.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I just have that nerd look on my face when I'm staring at those laptops, wishing, you know, dreaming and stuff.
You know, I mean, so I bet so many people who listen to this show, they cringe when they walk through like Best Buy and they hear the conversations that are going on, and they just want to interject. I know I do so many times.
I just
speak my piece.
Or especially when you're standing in line and you see all those people carrying in their computers to have Best Buy work on them. I'm just like, oh, I just want to stand out there with my card in the front and go, I'm half the price these people are. I'm half the price.
Right.
I'm going to get it back to you in half the time. And, you know, it's just,
it's a shame. But, it's a strange phenomenon. I'll tell you that.
It is a strange phenomenon. So, and then a couple other lessons learned were some failed attempts I did at advertising over the last 6 months or so.
Okay, good.
I had put a little bitty ad, like an inch by an inch, in the back of the church bulletin. And there's a whole page of ads of local businesses and stuff. You know, just put a little black and white ad on there, or one color ad. And I thought that would be a good thing to try, just because like a church community, you know, they want to call people they trust, that kind of a thing. And it was like $300 for a year. And I did that and didn't get one call from it. Not one. So that kind of surprised me. I figured I'd get at least a couple, you know, enough to make my money back. And, you know, if it broke even, I wouldn't try it again. But I mean, just not even one.
That's why I hate advertising, because I hate, it's most of it's trial and error. And I hate trying things and them not working. That's why when I found AdWords, I'm like, I'm just going to stick to this.
But, right. And then, and also like when I lost my job back in June and I was like, well, you know, I'm going to have to hit this computer repair pretty hard to make some money and everything. Mm-hmm. So I decided to invest a little bit of money and put like an ad in the classifieds in the local paper, you know, and that was expensive too. That was like $350 for that for like a month.
Yeah.
It was insane. And not one call from that either.
Damn.
Just, and I knew that was a long shot kind of, but I just didn't know if like maybe older people still looked at the classifieds, you know, might be able to find a niche there or something. Because I know nobody I know looks in the paper anymore. You know, they go to Craigslist or whatever.
Right.
Or the online classifieds. So I don't know. And then the third thing, type of advertising I tried to do was local movie theater. They have a free flyer that they hand out, or that sits near where you walk in and hand the tickets out, or they take your tickets at the movie theater.
Yeah.
And they have these free flyers for upcoming shows and stuff like that. And they had a space available on the front cover of that, and I have it right here. I don't know if you can see that or not, but so there's my ad there at the bottom of that, and this is just a movie flyer. I know this won't work well on the audio for the podcast, but and I haven't got one call from that either. And that was like $300 for that. It's kind of, I just figured a bunch of people would grab these as they were in there or walking out, you know, especially the movie nerds or whatever, you know, want to see what movies were coming up, but you know, got nothing from that either. So it was,
damn, that sucks. So, but,
hey, you don't know until you try.
I know. You know. You learned the hard way on that one.
So I spent like $1,000 and got nothing out of it, but
damn, man, you know. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, no, everybody does it.
Now, thank you for bringing it up, though, because now at least people who are listening won't try some of those things.
Yeah, or at least be wary of it, you know, just be aware that it may not work. It might be an utter failure.
Right.
So, and one of the other things I call a small victory is I finally got an accountant to help me out because my bookkeeping was lacking, and I really just didn't even know what I was doing with my QuickBooks Online,
right.
Just, you know, just as far as just how to categorize everything. So,
how'd you swing that?
Well, my old job, actually, I'd asked somebody if, cause he mentioned he's an accountant. I just asked for his name and he gave me the name, and then totally independent, I asked somebody else for a reference and they gave me the same name, which I thought was kind of cool. So I was like, wow, this guy got two references from two independent parties. That's kind of saying something probably.
Right.
So I went and talked to him and he's in just a little like some reminds me of an office from the '70s, like wood grain panel you know, green carpet and stuff like that. Really nice guy. I mean, he's probably like 60 years old or something, just the nicest guy in the world. And, you know, he just helped me out with what I needed to do. And it was kind of just a consult the first time, you know, and he gave me some pointers and offered to help me out and told me how much it would cost to get my bookkeeping all in order and stuff. And, Just a real nice guy, and he's helped me since then, and hasn't even charged me a penny yet, which has been nice. He's basically helping me figure out how I can do it myself and do it right.
You serious?
And then, yeah, he's just been real nice, just been great to work with.
That's pretty nice. He didn't charge you anything.
It's a small office with like three rooms and like a waiting room, and there are partners. There's two of the accountants in there.
Really?
And that's about it.
How much? What is his rate, though?
$50 an hour.
That's good.
And he thought, when I told him, you know, what the situation was and everything, he thought about $300 to get it all lined out, which didn't sound too horrible to me considering how lax I had been on my bookkeeping since like May.
Nice.
But he hasn't even charged me a penny. I told him that was kind of steep, you know, a little low on the funds lately. And he was like, don't worry about it. We'll work something out. We just need to get you fixed up.
No kidding.
Like, I was just like, man, you just don't find service like that anymore.
No, so. Definitely don't. Definitely keep your books. It's a smart thing to do.
So, and one other thing I'm trying to start doing more is actually doing more reinstalls instead of spending so much time trying to fix a problem on a computer. I don't know if it's just the bad luck or what, but it seems like recently I've had, over the last month or two, I'd say I've had several computers, probably six computers, where I just could not figure out what was wrong and had to end up doing a reinstall. Like I would end up spending like 2 weeks on them. Just, you know, just trying to, you know, probably end up spending like 10 hours on them or something like that, trying to figure out what was wrong. Because I just always had this, you know, idea in my head that most people don't want Windows reinstalled. They don't want it to look any different when they get it back, you know. So it was probably worth the time, but it just ended up costing me too much time. And, you know, and then the more time you spend, since I have a flat rate, the more less you're making per hour. So, you know, that hurts sometimes.
Totally. So. Totally. Now, why? So you ended up doing a lot of reinstalls?
I did end up doing a few, yeah. And a couple of them was, it was strange. It was something to do with anytime like a antivirus program needed to like register with the website, like with their host or whatever, an external website.
Yeah.
It would fail because something to do with the SSL service or something was bad, and I couldn't figure it out. It was strange. It was just on registering a couple different antivirus products is the only time I would notice it.
No kidding.
And so it was just one of those weird things and you know, searching, I couldn't figure it out. So after spending, you know, a couple weeks on it and having it happen to a couple different computers, I just did a reinstall. But another reason I'm thinking about going that route of doing more of the reinstalls is just because of the programs I have now, the tools I have to use, like Fabs Auto Backup, which has been great. I bought the tech version of that when it was released and actually used it on that small business job because I had a bunch of computers to back up.
Yeah.
You know, using that and using Nynite, you know, to reinstall the the software that you need to do, and the, you know, the WSUS offline updates for Windows, and my Windows Home Server, which allows me to back up any hard drives really easily. So it's because of those tools that it can actually make the reinstalls go real fast and probably make it even more worth my time. And I can get the computers back to a state where it almost looks exactly the same as when they gave it to me.
If you use those tools.
Yeah. Especially like Fabs Auto Backup, because it does such a great job of backing up even like your wallpaper and stuff like that, and your icons on your desktop. And, you know, when you put it on a new computer, it hardly makes any difference at all.
Are a lot of the machines XP, or what are you reinstalling these days?
Mostly XP. I'm seeing the XP and Vista, but mostly XP still.
Okay.
I can tell Vista's getting more popular, and I probably only had like two Windows 7 computers.
Okay.
So far. And in how, like the last couple months.
How fast are the reinstalls going for you?
They're going pretty good. I mean, they're just a couple hours, you know, to do that. Especially, you know, XP, you know, takes a long time to install just by itself, but, you know, it's not that bad. It's especially using like the offline updates, you know, I just have a CD or a DVD that I update every once in a while. Just make a copy of it, throw it in the computers that are, you know, need to do updates, and just reboot it a few times and it's done. You know, instead of 170 updates that needed to be downloaded and installed, which, like, you know, takes overnight or something like
that. Right.
That's pain.
I did I finally did an XP reinstall. It was the first one I've done in a long time. And I was curious of how many updates this thing was going to get. And I was using a Service Pack 3 disk that Lalo put together for me. Thank you, Lalo. And but still, even with their Service 3 disk doing the reinstall, it downloaded 93 updates. So there's still a lot of updates out there for that thing.
Yeah, there is. I actually did one a couple months ago, and it had Service Pack 1 on it.
it was
the install disk, you know. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to take forever.
That is painful.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing to me how fast Windows 7 installs. I don't know if you've done how many installs you've done on Windows 7. That's like nothing. That's like 20 minutes or
really?
Half hour.
Damn, that's awesome. Done. That is awesome.
Yeah, they made a huge improvement there.
Good for them.
Of course, those are newer computers and they're more powerful, but still, it's real quick.
Yeah, it's still. I mean, it's a newer operating system, so you'd expect it to be bloated, but I guess they did a good job with that.
I think so. I think they have, yeah. So, okay, well, that's enough of my victories and lessons learned.
Okay. What else you want? What do you want to go over, jobs now?
Yeah, I want to go over some examples in more detail than what we just did.
Okay.
The first one I was going to talk about was I had a desktop. I happened to get two computers from two different customers that were like exactly the same. They're both HP. One was like an A1007, and the other one was a A1020N.
Okay.
And the case and everything was exactly the same. The only difference was the chipset inside them. One was NVIDIA, one was Intel. And on the first computer I got, I was just doing updates and cleaning it up, normal, just routine stuff. And the Service Pack 3 install would fail. It blue screen on me. So I had done a backup, so I restored it and did the updates and did the Service Pack 3 install again, and it blue screened on me. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And the other computer didn't do it. And they're like identical, you know. So I knew it was some kind of virus or corrupted files or hardware conflict or something, you know, something different about the two almost identical computers. And after some searching around, I looked at HP's website, and I found a fix on their website that actually that fixed that problem, the blue screen of death during the Service Pack 3 install. So I installed that patch, and then it was fine after that. So just one of those strange things. Because I've had that happen before, and I could never figure out why. On a SP3 install, you get a blue screen of death.
Right.
And it was just always strange to me that would do that, especially after it's been cleaned up and everything. And,
what website did you go? Was it HP's website or AMD?
Yeah.
HP's website? Okay.
It was HP's, yeah.
Okay.
Just search for the model number, and that was one of the patches they had out there.
Get out. Unbelievable. Good that you found it.
Yeah. I didn't have to do a reinstall on that one.
And on the Intel one, it installed just fine.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
And the next one was I had a young man call me about his Dell XPS. I think it was like a 340 or something. It's a pretty nice machine, but it was dated. And I guess he never said why, but it wouldn't boot up for some reason. And he was trying to do reinstalls himself or a repair install. And he couldn't get it to work. It kept failing. He kept getting a blue screen of death on it. And so he called me. He said he spent like 20 hours trying to fix it. So he called me and I got it. And sure enough, you know, I turned it on. It just, it would post, but it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't boot. It wouldn't load into Windows. It just hung with the flashing cursor on the screen.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'll try to do the reinstall. And I got the same blue screen he was getting. So I was like, well, maybe this is a hard drive problem. So I switched, put a new hard drive in, and that didn't make a difference. Still failed. So then I started, like, I took out the RAM, you know, took out the RAM one stick at a time and tried to narrow that down. Didn't matter. Started taking out all the components, even switch out the processor, switch out the power supply, just switched out just everything. Took it completely apart, took everything and put it in another case and, you know, and everything, and kept blue screening on the XP install. And I was just baffled, completely baffled, because everything was either new or been switched out to another motherboard, you know, there was no variables left.
Right.
I couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, it turned out that I remembered something I had happen on that small business job where I was doing an Office install, and it kept failing, kept telling me there was corrupted files. And what it turned out being there was the disk was dirty. So on this one, I took his install disk and wiped it on my leg. That didn't fix it. So I just made a copy of it. I imaged it and copied it to a new DVD, and that fixed it.
Are you serious?
That was the whole problem.
That's amazing. You would expect even if it's dirty, it wouldn't copy over that well.
Right, yeah. And I did the verify and everything. I used image burn and did the verify, and there was no errors during the copy or the burn. But yeah, I kind of was just a long shot. That was the only variable left was the disk I was using, because I just switched out everything else. So
that's weird, man. That's good though. Good tip. Clean the disk.
Yeah, I don't expect that. Well, it's happened. Okay, I was gonna say that I wouldn't expect that to happen to many other people, but it happened to me twice in the last 2 months. So who knows?
But, I know. I've gone on things like that, like tangents like that, and I know Steve D has, especially with like CMOS batteries. Like you get something that works one time, and then you think it's the solution for like all the other machines you work on. And then and sometimes it does, but you know, then you kind of like snap out of it, and that's pretty funny. So, but that's a good tip. I mean, it's something else to check.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
And I had a compact Presario. It's actually still sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
The customer said that the wireless was bad on it. They couldn't connect to the internet anymore, and I said okay. So I checked it out, and I couldn't even get it to boot. And I couldn't find out after taking the hard drive out and. It wouldn't be recognized in the BIOS. It wouldn't show up in Windows. It wouldn't show up in Nopix. It just wouldn't show up anywhere. It was just dead, completely dead.
Okay.
And so I got him a new hard drive, reinstalled Vista, and the wireless is still not working on it. Like there's the switch on the front, you know, and it's actually, you can see it right now. It's still orange. The light on it's orange. Like, it won't, you know, you flip it and the and Windows doesn't see that it exists for me to even install any drivers or anything.
Right.
So I don't know. Do you think it, in your opinion, I mean, is there much I can do with it? Or should I take it apart and see if it came loose or something? I mean,
well, the problem with that computer is that, you know, the DV6000 HPs, the problems people are having with them,
right?
That computer is the same. It's basically the compact version of that model.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when your Wi-Fi starts to go on those DV6000s, that's the indicator that the graphics chip, you know, the whole thing with the reflowing of the graphics chip.
Right,
that's usually
right.
The first thing to go is a wireless card going out. I've had them in my shop, and I didn't know what it was till years later where we're doing Podnuts Daily, and people are getting them in, and it's like the first symptom of the reflow. That's basically what I learned. So I think that, you know, I think that that's the problem. I believe that that's the problem. And it actually does affect the wireless card. It's strange, but that's the way it works with them. So, yeah, I guess... I don't think you could put as many wireless cards as you can in there. I don't think it's going to work until you either reflow the chip or replace the motherboard. But
what about just using like a USB wireless adapter?
That'll work fine.
I figured that'd be a pretty cheap solution for them.
It'll be a cheap solution for them. But it'll be a good test. We give the computer back to him, see what happens in a month or two. He might start to get that symptom that the DV6000s have where the thing won't boot up and the black screen. Then you'll know for sure that that's like the definite symptom. But I'm pretty sure that wireless card going out is the first symptom of that problem.
Mm. Well, and when they gave it to me, it wouldn't boot up. So and it's kind of like, but it was, the hard drive was bad, as best I could tell.
When you say it wouldn't boot up, you got something on the screen though, right?
Yeah, it posted, and then you know, it just, you could just tell Windows wouldn't load. It wouldn't see a hard drive. It would say, you know, insert boot disk or something like that, and it just wouldn't even see a hard drive at all. But as soon as I put in a new hard drive, that was fixed.
Right.
You know, yeah, so install Vista, no problem. And
yeah, with the Reflow, it doesn't even boot, it doesn't show anything on the screen. It's just a black screen with the lights blinking. But did you say you tried replacing the wireless card?
No, I haven't. I haven't taken it apart yet.
I would try switching out a wireless card. That might be that. I mean, if you haven't tried that yet, I'd definitely give that a shot. Because you know, some DB6000s and that model, what's it, the F500? Not all of them were flaky. Only certain ones each qualified for, you know, when the extended warranty and all that stuff. So maybe it is just a bad wireless card. Who knows? I'd give it a shot.
Worth a shot.
Yeah, you can get them on eBay probably for like $10.
That's worth it.
Yeah,
that's worth trying it. Okay, well, thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem.
The next one I had was actually my aunt's computer, and she called me because it was running slow, and iTunes was getting an error. It wouldn't even load, and they couldn't reinstall it or anything like that. And this is another one that I couldn't figure out. I just did all the help stuff I could find on iTunes and reinstalling iTunes, and it just kept failing on the install. And I did do a reinstall on that one. Excuse me. But the more interesting thing part about this is when I was over there working, I was talking to my cousin, and she had a laptop back at college that she was talking about, and she had a best friend who was in the Geek Squad, who used to work for Geek Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And she had like a cracked screen on it, and she had asked him about it, and he was saying it was be $400 to get that fixed for her laptop. And she had another laptop with a missing key, and then he said that would be about $200 to get that fixed.
That's so great.
And she had a bad battery, and that was going to be like $175 or something like that. She just kept telling me these. It wasn't. She didn't tell him, rattle them off that quick, but she would just tell me another story, and I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, look, you need to call me next time you have computer problems. I was like, that is just insane that they would charge you that much.
That is just crazy. I love the key one. That's the best. $200 for a key.
Yeah. And I was like, I can go buy you a keyboard right now for like $15 on eBay.
Or even replace just the key.
She said it had some kind of special key that it was hard to replace. I don't know. Whatever.
She did? Oh, she must have had that special keyboard. Yeah.
Well, it was a Lenovo that I don't remember the model number of it, but it's most keys, or a lot of them just have the plastic. You just push them in, or you can even pop them out, mm-hmm. real easily.
Yeah.
This was actually metal. Like, it somehow locked in, and it was metal. So it was different than other ones I had seen,
okay.
But I didn't buy that it was, like, unfixable.
Right,
or you could
buy
a key for it and push it in there. So.
And you're also right. You could buy a keyboard cheap anywhere, on eBay or anywhere.
Yeah, so. So if it was as difficult as that Geek Squad guy claimed it to be, then we could just, replace the keyboard, no problem. So
he never said it was difficult. He just said it was expensive.
Well, he said that replacing the key was hard.
Oh, really?
The type of key it was. It wouldn't just pop in or something like that.
That's so funny, man.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but yeah, I just couldn't believe. I'm always baffled when people get these quotes from other places and stuff, and they're that expensive.
Yeah.
I'm like, But I guess a lot of them are roped in because they're under warranty and stuff like that, or they just don't know where else to go. I don't know. I guess you buy a computer at Best Buy or wherever, and it's just your first thought is to take it back there and get it fixed.
It is. It's just like what people do with car dealerships. But I have to say, my opinion has changed since listening to Chris Barry. He's been on the episode of Pod Nuts, and he comes on Nuts at Night every once in a while. You should really contact him, and I think everybody should contact him and ask him to be a consultant for your company, because He doesn't rip people off with Best Buy prices, but he will convince you that you need to charge more than what you're charging. I admit, when I was in my shop and I was doing Pod Nuts Daily, I was saying, I only charge $79, it's a great price, blah, blah, blah. After listening to Chris, I would not do it the same way. We are worth more than what we're charging. A lot of us are. We really are. And to help convince you and help you implement it, Chris has very good, valid points, he will convince you that you can make more money, and you will make a lot more money. So I highly suggest contacting Chris and paying him to consult you. Anybody, a lot of guys are listening, not just you, Adam. I would do it different after listening to him. I would do it different now. But I do agree 100% completely that Best Buy is still a ripoff.
Yeah.
But we could still make a lot more money, us guys.
Because I wonder what Chris's opinion is. I'll just have to ask him this, but I wonder what his opinion is about, like, other shops that are charging the same amount I am. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just have to figure out and explain and identify why I'm more valuable than the other shops who are charging less than I am. Because, you know, that's, I just actually adjusted my prices just last week a little bit because there's a new shop in town down the road from my house, like a mile away or something, that is has a flat rate of $89 and they have free pickup. And I was a little bit over that. So I was like, I can lower it 10 bucks and you know, do the free pickup, no problem. So
look, if Chris heard you say that, he'd probably flip out. I'm just
right,
saying.
I know he would.
Just because he actually goes to customers and tells them, I am more expensive than other people, but you're paying for my service, and my service is great. You just got to listen to him. I can't say it like him. But
oh, I know exactly what you mean, and I've listened to him talking that tonight, okay, and stuff like that, and right, or the after show and stuff. And he's
got it down. So don't lower your prices, even if other guys are charging, your competitors are charging a certain amount. You could still charge higher than them as long as you give them the service and do what Chris says, whatever the magic formula is. You can make a lot of money, even if you're higher than your other guys, you still would be in it. Because I'm sure you've gone to shops, and I mean, Best Buy is an example, but other shops that are really high too, and they're still in business. How do they stay in business? You know, so there's something to it. There's definitely something to it.
That probably is a good idea. I should talk to him more.
Yeah. All right. So what else you got here?
How are we running on time?
We're good. We're at 40 minutes.
Okay. Because I forgot to mention, I have a great story for you at the end of these. You're not going to believe this.
Okay.
This is going to be your first crazy story, crazy customer story of the year.
Nice.
So the next one was another Dell laptop. I've been getting nothing but Dells lately. That one compact, but mostly just Dells.
Okay.
And this was just last weekend, and the customer called me and said that the computer was running real slow. It was just an older Dell laptop with XP on it. It was running real slow. Sometimes it wouldn't log into Windows. Like, he could type in his username and password, but it just wouldn't log in and get all the way to the desktop and show the icons.
Right.
And sometimes it would just take like 5 minutes. Sometimes it just wouldn't do that at all. And, he said he thought there was viruses, and he was using, Trend Micro, and he had actually been on the phone with them and sent them logs and, you know, file samples and whatever they need, you know, to try to, you know, to just find new viruses or whatever. And they couldn't figure anything out. So that's when he called me, and, so I brought it home and did my normal routine of, you know, Supernova spyware and Malwarebytes, and then I ran CombiFix on it, and CombiFix found infected a master boot record, and so that was the problem. And CombiFix removed that and found some other things too that it fixed, and I did a reboot and it was working 100% better.
Damn, CombiFix again for the win.
Yeah. So, and I told him, you know, that I wasn't a big fan of Trend Micro, not for any particular reason, but just that, you know, I don't know, I just hadn't had good experience because people call me like that and they have viruses on there.
Right.
So, but that was a good opportunity for me to sell him a Avira, which I'm a reseller for, and Supernova spyware. And so he did that, and I just talked to him today, and he said it's running great. So he was very impressed and very satisfied. So
good job, man.
Yeah, that's good.
You know your tools. Oh,
yeah, well, that's another thing I kind of forgot to mention on these other examples is a lot of these I've been selling antivirus and Supernova spyware on, which is great. So
you're a reseller for both, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's been helping out with the income, you know, making more money on each job, you know, because I'm making like $32 per copy of Supernova spyware.
Damn.
Which is nice.
That's,
you know,
really nice, man.
Because I got it for like $7.60-something, and I'm selling it for $39, which is what it's listed for on the website.
Sweet. Oh, that's beautiful.
So, yeah. So that was Chris's advice. I did take a little bit of his advice.
Nice.
And that's been working well. I've been selling quite a bit of that. Both of those, especially the Supernova spyware, because I make quite a bit on that.
Right.
I don't make very much on the Avira. But I'd like to look into that, see if I can negotiate with them or something.
Let me just say, if anybody does want to be a reseller of Supernova spyware, contact Mike Duncan over there and tell him you heard it on Podnuts, because I always want him to know that, because they're really responsive. They love Podnuts over there. We have a great working relationship, and I just want to keep putting it in his ear that we're sending him people. So if you do become a reseller, which you should, tell him Podnuts sent you. it would help us out too.
Yeah, and this is, I'm new to this whole reseller thing, so I don't know how much money you can make on other things. Like, I remember listening to you and Steve D talking about buying, like, Norton online or Norton on eBay for, like, $15 and reselling it and stuff like that, which you can make some pretty good money at. But
I wasn't making $32 a sale.
Yeah, it's, and I remember I called in a couple times and was excited about the deal I was getting on Super Anti-Spyware for, like, $9.99 and stuff like that. And somebody mentioned, oh, they have that all the time. And they're right. I have seen that a lot now, which is great, because I stocked up on like 10 copies last time they had it going on, you know, just because I could resell it for, I got it for such a great price. But thankfully, they do offer that a lot,
right?
You know, is the $9.99 per copy, and you can do the friend code still works, so you can get it for like $7.64 a copy.
Sweet.
That's how we can mark it up so much. So,
good tips.
And then last one here on the examples of some jobs I've done. Is I had a referral from a lady who called me because her parents' computer was running poorly, and they had actually taken it to Office Depot 6 months prior.
Tragic.
To get it cleaned up.
Right.
And since then, they hadn't been able to watch videos online. FlashFire wasn't installed, basically.
I cannot believe these guys.
Yeah. So I actually remoted in and tried to help them.
Right.
And, sure enough, Flash Player wasn't installed. You know, it actually said, you know, the video was missing and it said, click here to install Flash Player the whole bit. And, you would go and try to download it and install it, and it would have the Adobe Download Manager would pop up.
Yeah.
And usually it has like the progress bar. And then it, like, when it's done, it just says close window when you're done, 100% complete. Well, that would never happen. It would never say installing. It would just say close window. Like it was done. I was like, well, that's strange. So I brought it back here and started doing some research and stuff on it. And it turned out to be a Windows registry permissions problem. So I found a fix for it on Adobe's website. And I actually have the link there in my notes for anybody else who encounters that problem. But I downloaded that fix and it's reset all the permissions on the Windows registry. And then I was able to install Flash and they were good to go after that.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know what Office Depot did to it. I'm still not sure. They showed me the receipt, which I was hoping it had the price on, but it didn't.
Damn.
But they showed me the receipt and it said they removed viruses and listed a couple of viruses they removed.
Okay.
So, you know, who knows what they really did to it.
Right.
But that fix worked for it. And so if you guys see anything, get any of that where you can't install Flash like that, check out Adobe's website under the troubleshooting and cannot install on Windows, and they'll have a fix there for resetting the Windows registry permissions, and that'll take care of it.
Sweet.
So, and then after, and he was, oh, and that was the other thing, they were running Norton on there, and that Norton, I know a lot of people like it now and stuff, and I don't really haven't used it to know either way, but I just know it's so complicated, because like on the Avira and some of the other antiviruses, they basically have like on and off, or like, right. You just turn off like email protection, you turn off, you know, the web protection or whatever, just like a few different choices, but Norton had like 30 buttons in there that you can, you know, turn on and off and everything. And I was just trying to disable it to see if that was preventing Flash from installing. And he was even telling them when it was allowing stuff through. It was giving them notifications when it was allowing programs to,
really?
To go through and stuff. It was just,
damn.
I just thought it was just overkill and super complicated, even for me, you know, a tech. And I was just like, I just want to disable this. I just want to, you know, turn it off real quick. And so I ended up selling them Avira and Super Anti-Spyware too, though.
Nice.
Because I brought it home and used Avira and found Trojans on there that Norton didn't catch.
Nice.
So Avira removed it. So
there you go.
And I had one other, and that couple, they were excited because I got that back to them in less than 24 hours because they were stressing to me how important it was that they have their laptop or their desktop because they're an older couple, and he was on a breathing machine, didn't get around much, and he was you know, spend a lot of hours on his computer. So he was, you know, wanted to get it fixed, wanted me to do it there. And I was just like, well, this is going to take hours, you know.
Right.
I do virus scans and stuff like that. It's just, it's going to cost you a lot.
What does he want to play, his games?
Yeah, they like Flash-based games and different stuff like that, yeah.
Right.
$10, you can tell the game's out of the $10 bin at Office Depot and some stuff.
I guess somebody buys them.
Yeah, Oregon Trail.
All right, you have one more and then a story?
Yep, one more and then a story.
Okay.
And this one was, it's real simple, but, here's another referral that I got from another customer. He called up and said he was gone for 3 months out of town and got home and hit the power button and just the yellow light on the, like the hard drive indicator or whatever activity indicator would flash. And that's all it would do.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, well, that sounds like probably a power supply or maybe a motherboard. So I got it back here. Sure enough, power supply. And I had a used one that he wanted, and I put that back in there, gave it back to him, and like less than 6 hours, had it back to him. And he was super excited.
I love them jobs.
Yeah, and that, so jobs like that, just their customers are ecstatic, you know, and they're just like, man, he's like, oh, I'll tell everybody, you know, can I have some cards? I'm like, sure, here you go. Here's some cards, you know, put them on the wall, hand them out. So
nice.
Another one of those I'm calling small victories, just because stuff like that, you know, where you can, after the ones I've had recently where they're taking me 2 weeks, try to figure out what the heck is going on. And then I get a couple where you make really good money and it takes you like 15 minutes to fix it. And, you know, and you can get it back to them real quick.
It has to balance out. Otherwise, you just go crazy.
Right, right. And, you know, I was stressed out for a while there. Now I'm like, after this weekend, you know, I only have one left here on my desk, and, you know, and I'm feeling a lot better, and, you know, made some really good money over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, you're right. It balances out.
Good for you.
So
it's good stuff, man. Thank you for all those jobs.
Not a problem. Yeah, I don't really have anything too new and exciting, new fancy tools or anything, or life-saving.
That's great.
Tools this, but...
I was talking with Steve D about it a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, and that's how Podless Daily started, with its roots, telling jobs. Just tell us what jobs you did, how you fixed computers, and it's nice to get back to that. So if anybody is signed up for a future show, bring the jobs that you did, just like Adam did. Bring the jobs that you're doing, because if you go through each job that you did throughout the day, you give tips to technicians out there that might not have thought of those things. So I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, and when I'm at work and stuff, and even in my car or whatever, I have a note in Evernote that is just for episodes of Daily.
Oh, sweet.
And I'll put episode, you know, 200, and, you know, the tech mentioned this tool, or, you know, mentioned going to this website or this fix. And I just keep notes like that. So while I'm working in my full-time job, you know, I'm listening to the podcast and stuff, I'll just like hop over real quick and type a little quick note, something I need to remember or look into more. And so, you know, then that's great.
Yeah,
I think I just assume other people do that because people are just telling their jobs and giving examples of what, you know, what they did. And, oh, I had the situation. I can use that too. So.
Exactly. You do it both ways. So you take notes from Daily, and then you also make notes for Daily. That's the thing. I would do that too. I would try to remember to do it too. Before I came home, I'd make notes of every job I did as I was doing it. If all the techs out there do that and then they come on the show, man, could you imagine that, the wealth of resource that we would have here? It would be amazing.
And I did these notes in Evernote because I start a list. Last time I started a list after our last show that I did. The next day I just started a list again. For when I knew I would hopefully go on again someday. So I just started a list of interesting jobs. You know, I try not to talk about stuff that's too boring.
Right,
but,
right. Of course. No, that's great.
Know? So.
Good for Evernote too.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Evernote.
All right. Tell us your crazy story.
Okay. So I had a customer call me. And I'm going to try to be as politically correct as I can here, but this gentleman was in the very poor part of town, very low-income area. Mm-hmm. His house was a disaster inside, and him and his wife both seemed like they were very slow people. I'll just put it that way. but, you know, I was, you know, very courteous and everything, and he had two laptops he wanted me to work on. One was a screen replacement for Toshiba, and the other was a... Acer Aspire 1, I think that's the netbook, that he just wanted to me to reinstall Windows on and to clean it up, basically. And so I did the first one for him, the Acer Aspire, because it took a little time to get the screen in. So I go back on a Friday, and I take it to him, and he pays me and everything, and him and his wife are talking to me. And they're both, and I say they're slow because they're just real hard to understand, don't talk really well, you know. Yeah. So I was just kind of talking, and they're like, oh, so where do you work at? And I told him where I worked full-time. And he was like, oh, I have a friend in Atlanta. Are they hiring where you work? And I was like, no, actually, we just went through a merger and everybody's job's up in the air, you know, nobody knows what's going on. And so, no, I really don't think they are, but, you know, and I told him, hey, you can have her check out the website, you know, just go to their website and they have the job postings on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, okay, thanks. And then, so, that was on a Friday. And then on Sunday, I get an email from a lady, we'll just call her Jane Doe. And Jane emailed me wanting to know, like, I should have brought it up. Just basically, if she came in on Monday morning, if she could get a meeting with me and my company, and because she's really needing a job, she's driving in from Atlanta. And I was like, wait, what? So it was just one of those really strange emails that I didn't even know how to respond to it because I had told that guy, no, they're not hiring. You know, I tried to lay him down as nicely as possible that I wouldn't be able to help, you know, her, his friend.
Right.
And actually, here I have the email right here. I can just read it real quick. It's not very long.
Okay. This ought to be good. You got it?
Okay, yeah, here it is. And it says, and this is not the company name, so I'll read it. It says, oh, and she submitted this from my website, by the way. So it was through my form on my website is how she emailed me.
Okay.
And it says, does the company, Kentucky Communications, or yourself have time to talk with me on Monday? I have driven without sleep all the way up here today since I found out your company was hiring FT full-time. Please respond. Thank you, Jane Doe, and she gives her title and where she's from.
Right.
And the customer that I knew. So I was like, wait, what? There's no, I'm not doing any hiring. So I thought about it. And then Monday morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to respond. And that email is kind of long that I wrote her.
Mm-hmm.
But I basically just said, I'm sorry, there was some confusion. And I'm sorry if you drove down here. And I mentioned to that guy that, you know, we're not doing any hiring. So I sent her that email. 15 minutes later, I get a call at my desk at work. And it's the HR person. She's like, Adam? And I was like, yeah. And she said, do you know Jane Doe? And I was like, Jane Doe, Jane Doe. And I was like, oh, yeah, she sent me an email. Well, she's here looking for you. I was like, what? She's here. She said she drove from Atlanta, and she's been up all night, and she's here for an interview. I was like, are you kidding me? How did she even find me? So I was like, no, I don't know her at all. She just emailed me. She just sent me an email. I don't have any idea. I responded and said we weren't hiring, and you know, and I told him that, you know, that I keep my jobs completely separate. My business, my tech head business, is no relation to my full time job. You know,
right?
And I said, so what? It's like, so I told the HR lady, I was like, you know, I'll come help you talk to her, whatever, you know, just in case, you know, things get crazy because she's obviously something's wrong. She drove overnight to show up for a job interview that didn't exist,
right?
Didn't have a resume or anything,
right?
And then, I said, so what's she like? And the HR lady described her as edgy and fidgety. And I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good.
No.
Sounds like somebody maybe coming off of something.
Right, exactly.
And
it might have just been 5-hour energy drink. But
yeah,
no.
It could have been a bunch of those. I'm not sure.
Right. But
so anyway, so I'm just there being super apologetic, just super concerned that they're going to like fire me because of, you know, recommending people who are out of their mind or something like that. So I went down and talked to the HR lady, and she said, you know, everything's fine. The lady went home. She was upset. She was just asking for Adam. That was all she knew. She didn't know your last name. And she said, I'm looking for Adam. He's a tech head. Well, no, I'm not a tech head. Tech head is my business. She thought she came in there and asked like my position was a tech head in that company. She got her like all mixed up. And so I guess she thought there was like, you know, senior tech head at this business, you know.
Was she a tech? Did she want a tech head job?
She wanted something in network, I think, or like a support position.
Tech heads for hire?
She wanted. Yeah.
Dude,
so
that's amazing.
So, and the HR person was like, don't worry about it. And then the HR person was like, wait, did you give her an application? I was like, what do you mean did I give her an application? And she showed me an application the lady had filled out. Somehow she got an application specifically for that company, for my company, and had it all filled out and ready to go and put me as a reference on it.
Are you serious? Dude, oh my God, this is crazy.
Adam was the reference. Adam.
Adam the tech head.
Yeah, there's no name, address, knows nothing about me, just Adam.
Oh my gosh. When you went down there to talk to her, did she act like she knew you already?
Actually didn't end up going down there. I offered to, and the HR lady's like, well, I'll take care of it. And then she never needed me to come down there.
I got
you. I was basically going to go down there to like, you know, take a bullet if I had to, you know, it's the situation I'd got her into.
That is amazing, man.
I was freaking out just about, you know, what this meant for like my, you know, getting in trouble, getting written up or whatever, you know? And, so I talked to the HR person, told my boss about it and everything, and then later the evening we all had a good laugh about it.
Okay, good.
And then for a couple of days there, people would be like, you know, anybody stalking you outside of work tonight? Anybody following you around? And then one day I was like, hey, somebody want to walk me out to my truck? It's kind of dark out. And they were like, hell no, we don't want to get shot.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, great. So I And then actually just yesterday, she responded and said, "No problem, Adam." That was her whole response to my whole, like, trying to be super sweet and nice and sorry you drove all that way. And so I guess she drove back to Atlanta.
I wonder if she even came from Atlanta. Dude,
I don't know.
She's out of your life. That's all you need to know.
Yeah,
You're in good shape.
The only thing that was unfortunate after that is I had to return the other laptop to that customer.
Oh, man.
So I was like, man, I don't want to go back there.
Did that go well?
It went fine. He was just, you know, totally like, did nothing happened.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, that was weird. Man, what a weird situation. Golly.
All right, let me play go ahead.
Oh, okay, so there you go. There's my crazy story.
Crazy stories. Everybody should bring one of them, too.
Especially when they end okay. No harm done.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Happy
ending. Maybe she was crazy. Maybe she was just desperate. I don't know. But, yeah, I didn't lose my job. And as far as I know, she made it back to Atlanta fine. And we're all good.
We're all good. Yeah. She was edgy and fidgety, and she's gone.
Yeah.
Let me play some voicemails real quick.
Okay.
We'll do three voicemails. If anybody sent an email, we'll read that next week, but we'll do the voicemails for today. We got, first off, I think it's Andy from Wisconsin. Let me just make sure. Yes, it is. And here we go.
Give it to me, and then I go through and clean it all up.
Oops, starting in the middle there. Here's the beginning.
Hi, guys. This is Andy from Wisconsin. I'm just a tinker right now, doing stuff with family and friends in the garage. Ain't doing anything professional. But one thing I've been doing, like I said, that might be a good idea for people to look into, is I work with a local pawn shop, and when they get a computer in or something, they give it to me, and then I go through and clean it all up, you know, put their picture of their pawn shop on as wallpaper, and do a couple of little tweaks so it looks nice when they display it in their shop. And if there's any viruses or anything, you know, I go through that. And a lot of times, too, I'm in there because I kind of know the guys feel like give me heads up on equipment. I bought a gateway monitor that they got in. It was supposed to be good. Turned out to be bad. I bought it for $30. I went and Googled it. Go on the badcaps.com forums, and they said it's a common problem. I bought a pass-through kit off eBay for like $14, and the thing works beautiful now. It's HD monitor, 24-inch. I couldn't be happier with it. They had a Acer 5610Z laptop in there one day. He had it on the shelf for $50. He said it didn't boot up, didn't power up, nothing. I gave him $30 for it, or a new motherboard for it, and the thing works beautiful now. It has everything with it, so it's just one thing to keep in mind. If you're looking for some extra business, maybe talk to your local pawn shops, and maybe you can work out a deal like I do. I love the show. Keep it going. I'll be listening. Thank you.
All right. That's a great idea, and I did the same thing. If you hook up with a pawn shop, they always have computers in. Thank you, Andy, by the way. They always get computers in. They're usually messed up almost beyond belief. There's a lot of work there to do, and then you start doing work. I've done work to fix computers that have come into a pawn shop, and then that turns into doing business work for that pawn shop, fixing their computers that they use at their shop. So, and you know, a pawn shop, they constantly have inflow and outflow going through new electronics, new hardware, so you could pick up a lot of good stuff there. I think it'd be a good idea to hook up with a couple pawn shops in the area, see what they need, see if you could help them. The reason I stopped doing it was because I started to see a pattern that the computers that were coming in had stickers on them from, like, the local colleges around the area and, like, locks that have been broken off of these computers. As soon as I started seeing that, I'm like, dude, these things are stolen. I'm like, I'm out of here. And I didn't work that shop anymore. But not everything that comes in a pawn shop is stolen. So if you got some reputable guys out there, there's definitely work to be had, and I recommend it. Oops.
Sounds like that reminds me of the emails you get if you've ever been on Craigslist and try to post a repair on there, and they'll send you a list saying, you know, I have 10 laptops that I want you to reformat and put Windows back on, install the software, and I'll pay you $1 million, and just tell me how you want it, and all this stuff, and reminds me kind of like that.
Totally. People even get emails like that. I've gotten emails like that. Not even posting.
I got several.
Right. Not even posting on Craigslist, just having a computer repair business up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple guys have posted in the forums. I got this email. I don't know if it's legit. And it's something like that. Yeah.
I remember when I, like, probably, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, I posted on Craigslist for the first time. Within an hour, I had one of those emails, and I was like, hell yeah, I'll work on 10 computers. You know, and then I read it a few times, and I was like, wait a second here. You know?
I know. Craigslist might not be the best place.
No, I haven't put my ad back on there since.
Yeah, I didn't advertise on there either. But I know some people who have done it, and they've had some success, so it just depends. All right, let me play with this one from Door Door Geek.
I can't hear him, by the way, but that's okay.
Hey, Steve, Door Door Geek. I'm gonna leave
got my video off.
Just to make sure people didn't forget about this tool, PDFF Killer. Just Google search that. You'll be pushed to a support.kaspersky website. It's now a GUI tool. This is the tool I highly encourage everyone to run on every Windows computer they come across, even a family member or a friend that they're just on for a couple seconds. Run this tool. This will help get rid of. This will get rid of a lot of rootkit that get in and then take a little bit of time to propagate to a nasty infection. So you can cut it off early on friends and families and on customers. It's the first thing I always run, and it seems like it lightens the load, if I remember from a previous podcast. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I think he said TDS killer. Let me play that again. And Adam, sorry you can't hear these. Next time I'll have it fixed, but I just, since I moved the whole studio, it's just not set up yet. But let me play
That's all right.
Let me play this again. I think he said TDS killer. Just the beginning.
Hey, Steve, Door Door Geek. I just want to leave a quick message. Just to make sure people didn't forget about this tool, TDSS Killer.
TDSS Killer. TDSS Killer. Thanks, Door. You know, I never run it. That's a little after my time, but I know guys in the chat room and in the forums definitely run that. And appreciate it, Door, as usual.
Yeah, I've used that a couple times myself.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more here, and that'll be it for the show. So here we go.
Hello, this is John, and I thought I'd give you a voicemail for your show. I have this problem I've been working on for a while. I go back to it periodically. It's just a problem.
And by the way, if you guys do hear this message skipping, it's not your connection. It's the voicemail, so we're just going to let it ride.
I keep trying to figure out. I have this Dell Latitude. I brought this up a couple of times in the forums, but it's a D800. And I've been trying to upgrade the BIOS on it. I've replaced the original memory, although it had two sticks. I only had one other original, which was a 256. I put it in there. I put the original hard drive back in there. I reformatted it and put just the basic XP installation with just enough to get it up and going. And I still get the same message, no matter what I do, that says that the BIOS is not compatible with the level of hardware in the computer. Now, the only thing I can figure is perhaps a firmware update of one of the devices in there might be causing a conflict. So I would be curious if anybody has any further advice on this. I've tried to make the original configuration as best I could. That's basically it. So look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you. You're doing a good job, by the way. Very good. I very much appreciate the service you're providing, and the information is really, really good. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, so that was a voicemail from John. And basically what he was trying to do is upgrade the BIOS, which, first off, John, something I don't really recommend. If the thing's working fine, leave it alone. I'm not sure why you were upgrading the BIOS, but what he tried to do was upgrade the BIOS, and then he was having problems. The computer was saying that, what did he say? The BIOS is not compatible with some level of hardware in the computer. My advice, John, is try to put the original BIOS back on and just let it be. there's no real need to upgrade the BIOS unless there's a reason why you have to, if you ask me. But if you if you're still trying to run it with the upgraded BIOS, do it like you said. Remove the wireless card. That might be something you didn't try removing before. Remove the wireless card. But he said he already switched out the hard drive and the RAM, and it's still causing a problem. Man, I would definitely just try to bring it back to the original BIOS. There's got to be the original BIOS floating around somewhere, maybe on Dell's website or something. Let's see. What do you guys in the chat room say? Nothing on that. Mitch said you could have the wrong BIOS update. Let's see. Yeah, that's my best advice for you, John. Thanks for the voicemail. Be careful in updating BIOS as anybody. It's like it's something that I never do, but some people might feel differently about it. But I've had success not upgrading unless there's a reason why.
I used to, whenever I was into overclocking and gaming a lot more and stuff like that, I would always like look for the most recent drivers. And I was always getting the most recent BIOS updates and, you know, hardware or graphics card updates and stuff like that. But I don't do that anymore because I run one time and that was all it took.
Really?
So, yeah.
I mean, drivers is one thing. BIOS updates, that's like, you know, that's like the nervous system sometimes of the computer. So you don't want to really mess with that if you don't have to.
I was just looking for anything that could give me another, you know, a little bit of performance boost. So,
right,
you know.
Right. Well, that's my advice. So thank you, John, for sending a voicemail. If anybody else wants to send us a voicemail, simple. Just call 7076-PODNUT, 7076-PODNUT on a regular phone. Or you can just Skype us at PODNUTS and leave a voicemail. That's probably a better way of doing it. And that's going to be it for today. And if you want to send us an email, just send it mail@podnuts.com. If you want to be on the show like Adam did, just go to podnuts.com/guests, and you can sign up there. It's super easy. Everyone is invited. As long as you could bring some computer repair goodness to the show, we will be appreciative, like we are of Adam. Thank you, Adam, for coming on the show. I totally appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for having me. I enjoy it. Less nervous this time than I was last time.
Good. By the third time, and I hope there is a third time, I hope you do sign up again, you'll have no nerves, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And for those of you who didn't watch the video, you got to watch it just to at least to see Adam's super awesome cat. He just got a kitten, and the thing has just been jumping all over the room the whole show. Look at him. What's his boy or girl?
Girl.
What's her name?
Depends on the day. We have a 6-year-old and a 20-month-old, so the name changes every day.
Really?
I think she called it, I don't even know. I don't even try to remember. For a while, it was Chloe, I think, and then it's just going to end up being Kitty Kitty, I think, because it's the only thing we know to call it, because okay. It changes all the time. So
that's cool.
Yeah, she's sweet.
Nice cat. All right, well, thank everybody for watching, listening, streaming. There will be no PodNuts Pro tonight, because if you remember, when we started at one Wednesday out of the month, we don't do the show, and this is that Wednesday. So we'll be back next week for that. So sorry, guys, if you're waiting for that. And that's going to be it. See you guys next time. Music for PodNuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.